Hey, what's up, everybody? We're the Flippin' Flippers. I'm your host, Paul.
And I am Co. And we are your coast-to-coast guitar podcast.
That's good. That's what we are. I never know what to say after that. I thought of something funny in the car today to say after that, but I can't remember. Oh, it was if you said you got to bring sexy in there somehow. So if you said we're your sexy coast-to-coast guitar podcast. I just think it's true. I can't help it. I mean, we emote, you know.
Sure, why not?
I mean, you with your beard and me with all my brawn and dumbness. I'm like Kronk from Emperor's New Groove. I'm quite the catch, ladies, just so you know.
Yeah.
Cool. So how you been, man?
I don't know. I kind of feel a little bit like I'm losing my mind.
That's because you're into it, like half a six pack right now.
Well, the beverages of choice tonight are a result of me losing my mind. So,
okay,
not the other way around. Well, you never know. Homer Simpson once stated that alcohol is the cause of and solution to all of life's problems. So,
that is, I think he's right.
So there's that.
There's that.
No, what's new with me is I have some PayPal money in the bank because I sold the OLP bass.
And what'd you get for that?
Total after shipping was like $170.
Oof, dude. So 170 with the shipping, right?
Yep.
And then you said that you paid how much for shipping?
It's right around $30.
So you did good.
Plus the boxing it up and bagging it up. I threw it in a gig bag too for the guy, you know?
Yeah.
Just I had an extra gig bag laying around.
But I mean, you still made like an extra $60 off that deal.
Yeah. But before
not extra 60, I can't math. Sorry. Made extra $45 bucks, but that's okay.
Before I threw it in the box, though, you know, I played it real quick just to make sure everything was in order. Mm-hmm. And
then you didn't want to send it out.
The volume pot was acting goofy, like skipping and jumping around, and felt really rough to turn.
Uh-huh.
So obviously I messaged the guy and I told him. And I offered to send him, you know, ship direct to him, one of the GFS wiring harnesses, because that's what I have in it. It's just a GFS wiring harness, and it's a quick connect plug to plug the pickup in.
Yep.
So, those are like $17.
Oh, so, that's cool.
So yeah, I offered that to him, and he said that would be awesome. And so that's on the way to him as well as the bass. And so I
you
spent
made
a
like
little bit more of that money.
You spent Yeah, but you got like $120 out of the deal, basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
which is
good.
What I wanted to get for that bass.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. Plus, you did a good deed. Like, it's good to do a good deed.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would have felt bad sending it off broken.
Yeah. Well, knowing, you know.
Yeah.
That's douchey. That's douche class. That's something for other podcasts. not any I listened to, but just I figured other podcasts.
But yeah, so I mean, I don't know. Do you usually test stuff before you send it out?
Oh yeah, especially because I get so much used stuff that I want to make sure, especially pedals. I mean, I've gotten a lot of pedals in and then just like sold it without even trying it, just assuming it works, and then like, you know, I'm like, I better plug this in, you know.
Yeah.
Just in case, you know. And I did have one time. It was only like a $30 pedal or something, and it was like, I'm like, yeah, it's not really working right with a battery or with a power supply. You know, I tried it with a battery and it works fine. Do you still want it? And they're, you know, and I'll knock off a few bucks or whatever. And most of the time they're like, no, I'll just cancel. And it's like, okay. Yeah. And I think I had that with some DOD jobber, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's only going to come back to you if you send it out and you didn't do your deal diligence, you know?
Right, yeah, that's what I figure. And, you know, when the guy had a story, too, about how all his gear was stolen, not too long ago and stuff too. And I'm like, I don't want to screw this guy. He's just trying to rebuild.
Was that guy
gear.
Was that guy in Skillet? And now he has to, he's got to go for an OLP base. Poor guy. He was playing all PRS, and now he's going. Man, oof, I wonder if their sponsorship ran out. No, that does suck though. For real, I feel bad for that band.
Yeah. Wait a minute. So. Skillet's all Skillet's gear got stolen.
Yeah, you didn't see that on the Instagrams.
I don't follow Skillet.
Nope. Everybody was posting it. It was like one of those things that kind of floated around all the gear pages.
Oh, really?
So you must have just blocked it out of your brain. But yeah, I mean, Justin, I think, was the first person I saw that posted it. And I saw it on, like, you know, like the Tone Mob and a bunch of other, like, builders and stuff. Yeah.
Gotcha.
It didn't make me giggle, like, because that's, like, sucks. But it was funny to see everyone playing a PRS. Like, there was like four members that got their gear stolen, and they were all playing like PRS. And I was like, dang. like, dang, I didn't really. Okay, you know.
Yeah.
But that does suck. That sucks big time. So.
Yeah. Well, what's new with you?
Yeah, I don't know. I did a bunch of demos this week, which is cool because I had a little bit of time to do it. Even though I'm still working a lot, I was felt like I still had time to do demos, so that was cool. So go check them out. They're on Instagram and YouTube and all that jazz. And then I just finished up one for I did the Kyber Fuzz. I did the Canalia. Mm-hmm. I did I'm trying to think of what else I did. I don't remember other pedals, and then I just did the Defcon 4 from Walrus. So, yeah, go check them out. They're on Instagram, and then the links for YouTube as well is on there. So go check them out. That was fun. I had a good time doing those. So, nice. And then and then my flip story from last week. Well, my purchase from Facebook Marketplace continued this week, and it was. Very interesting. So, basically, you know, he is the guy about the organizer from Earthquaker Devices or whatever. And basically, you know, he kind of gave me a hard time for not coming to get it, but had lied to me. And I was kind of just pretty much over with that guy. And he had said the greatest line I've ever read. And he was just like, well, maybe Earthquaker Devices will endorse you, but probably, and you'll get a free one, but probably not. Like, I just thought it was like the funniest thing I've ever heard. It just made me giggle. And so I had to go to Watertown like 2 days later. And so I was like, on the way up, I stopped at like a gas station or whatever, got a drink, and so I was sitting there and I looked and it was still on there. I had to get gas, so I was like looking, you know, and just to see what's up there, why I go up there. And I look and I see it up there still, and I go, dang it. And he had lowered the price to like 65 or something. He had it up for 75 originally. So I messaged the guy and I was like, hey, I'm gonna be in Watertown today. If you do want to sell it, I have cash, like I'll pay the agreed amount, blah 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 blah. And he goes, he just straight up goes, the price is 75, bro. And I was like, it says 65 on Facebook Marketplace. He's like, well, I could do 65. I'm like, well, we kind of agreed on 55. And he was like, can you do 60? I was like, sure. I was like, I gave you a hard time, or I gave you a little bit of a hard time, so fine, whatever. Like, I'll do 60. And he's like, what time can you get up here? And I was like, I can be up there by 1 o'clock to 1:30. And he goes, if you're later than 1:30, I won't sell it to you. And I was like, no problem. I'm like, I don't need it, is what I put in there. I just think it would be cool, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's like, here's my address. Or he's like, when you get close, I'll give you my address. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I get into town, I give him my address, and it's on the other side of town that I was coming. I would have gone the other way. And so if he just given his address in the first place, I would have been there at 1:15 instead of 1:30. So I messaged him. I'm like, I'm in town, I just need your address. And so he gives me his address, and I'm like, yeah, I'm 15 minutes away, so I'll be there at 1:30. And he's like, fine. So I get there, and first of all, the Facebook profile doesn't match the dude that walks out, because he looked kind of like a, you know, like a man, and this was a young boy that walked out of this crappy trailer park and just like stormed out like pissed off. I rolled down the window in my van and I go, and he's like, "You here for the pedal?" And I was like, "Yeah," like super aggressive, like really aggressive. And I was like, okay. So he kind of like walks over to the front window, like as if I'm not going to get out of the car, or my driver's side window, as if I'm not going to get out of the car. So I get out of the car and I tower over this kid. I mean, a good 5 or 6 inches over, even more than that, almost a foot. Like it's almost a foot that I tower over this kid. And I go, he had to be like 5'3 or 5'4, you know? And he's like, so everything's like here, bro. I was like, yeah, it's just a pedal, man. Like, and so I look at it, everything looks clean. I'm like, okay. I was like, here's the money. And he's like, okay, thanks a lot. And he just like runs into the house. But it was so funny because I think he was gonna like, obviously he wasn't gonna tussle, but he was right. Like going to try to get big on me because he was a stocky kid. Yeah. So like, but I was like, dude, I'm like, you know, like 3/4 of a foot taller than you. You can chill out, you know. But he was definitely like super like aggressive, and then like he left and whatever. But I kept asking him if it was a V1 or a V2, and he said, "Oh, it's a V2." And he's like, "I promise you, it's a V2. V2. Blah 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 blah." I said, "Well, do you have the box?" He's like, "No, I don't have the box, but I got it from Earthquaker, so it's a V2. That's what I asked for." Blah blah blah. I was like, "Okay, that's fine. I'll believe you." And I got there, and of course, so Earthquaker either now they put all the stuff on the inside of their pedals for like okay. the, you know, they just write V2 and the date and whatever, and they draw a little picture sometimes, and then on the older ones, it has like a sticker on the back that's like a piece of paper that says the date and if what version it is, and yeah. there of course was Velcro over it, so I couldn't tell. And I was like, all right. I'm like, you sure it's a V2? And he's like, yeah, it's a V2. I was like, cool. All right. Thanks a lot. I leave. I drive maybe like 20 minutes away and I get out my screwdriver and I open it up. V1. And I was like, you piece of crap. And so like I hit him up like right away. I was like, hey, man. I was like, you know, that's a V1, right? I just opened it up. And he's like, no, I didn't. I didn't know. I was like, listen, I'm like, if you're going to keep selling stuff online, I go, you got to be honest. Otherwise, it's going to come back to you. He's like, and he goes, well, why don't you say that to my face? I'm like, I'm right around the corner. Like, I'm like, I can stop by your house. I know where you live. Yeah. And then he just like, he didn't respond, but he kept like looking at the, you know, he looked at the post. And I just said, if you want, we can stop and chat about it. Or I can stop by and chat about it. And then he didn't like reply. And I go, I don't really care. I'm just busting your chops, but you should really, honestly, it's going to come back to you one day. So just make sure you know what you're doing, you know? And then I just left it alone. Cause yeah. like I got it for 60, I'll sell it for 80, whatever. I'm not out anything. And it wasn't going, I didn't go out of the way for it, but if I drove up there, I would have been pissed. Like if I drove straight up there and it wasn't for work, you know, mm-hmm. but so anyways, moral of the story is, dude, just open it up.
Like, rule number one, man. Rule number one.
I took this kid on his word, you know, and I normally don't do that. At least that, you know, that kind of situation where the value is so much different. You know, like the V2 sell for $140, mm-hmm. the V1 sell for $80 because they track better. That's why.
The V2 does.
Yeah, it tracks better. So, whatever. It's not a big, I don't really care. But it is like normally I even looked to see if I had a screwdriver in the car to like open it up, and mm-hmm. I couldn't find it until I got like down the road and out of the car. So I was like, I wish I found this sooner. Cause it was like, you know how you have like, my van has like the stow and goes in the back. It was like mm-hmm. underneath the stow and goes, and I just didn't see it, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, so that's the moral of the story is don't get ripped off by kids on Facebook.
that's a good moral. Good moral.
Yeah.
Though. So and know what you're selling, right?
Oh yeah. And also he came out wearing like a pink shirt with a unicorn on it. And he had like, you know, he obviously had like brown hair or something, but it was like like bleached like blonde weirdness. It was like, dude, you're a wreck. So anyways, cool. So yeah, let's get into the topics. What do you got?
All right, so when it comes to boosts and drives,
first of all, we can't record two nights in a row because we sound like idiots, first of all. Second of all, I was very distracted. Third of all, I was trying to say the things that Michael Newman is saying, but my words just came out wrong.
Fair point. Moving on.
Yes. So, but Michael Newman, thanks for calling us out. Also, we know we're idiots. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. So,
tell us about Boosted Drives.
Yeah. Michael Newman wants to know why he is the best patronizer.
Is he the best?
You got me, man. I got a question mark on my paper. So,
I think we'll have to put a poll up to decide. We'll let them fight it out for the president of the group. That'd be good. Yeah. That'd be a good prize.
President of the group.
President of the patronizers group. That'd be good. So I remember back in the day on 60 Cycle Hum when like I ran for president.
No.
Do you remember that? Oh, no. That was like a thing. Yeah. It was like I ran for like gear president of the year or something. And it was like a poll that somebody posted, and I made like propaganda like posters and put them up. It was pretty awesome.
Was that in the main group or was that
in the main group? Yeah, really? it was like early on, maybe like, what are they on, year five now? So maybe like year two. It was pretty early on, but it was pretty hilarious.
Interesting.
Good times. So still running for gear president of the year. I haven't won, but one year I'll get it.
All right. Well, how about a real topic?
Okay.
Let's talk modding.
Okay, I thought you were going to say cereal. I don't know which one I want to talk about more, but let's go with modding first.
Okay, Doug Chris asked, you know, where is the line? Is there a line? And if there is, where is it for modding cheap guitars? Like, how much do you put into a cheap guitar?
Well,
go.
Okay. I don't think there's a value. I honestly don't. I think if it plays good and you like it. Like, let's take the Fender Mustang Bullet. The Squire Mustang Bullet.
Yeah.
That's a good example of a modding platform. A lot of people say there's you pick up one and it's good, and if that's a good one and it plays really well, you put in, let's say, whatever Lawler pickups.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big expense.
Yeah, you've already doubled the cost of the guitar there.
Right. But if you like the guitar and it plays good, then who the heck cares? And you want it to sound better, you know? So that's an easy mod that is expensive, you know.
Yeah.
But also that's an easy one to reverse. So you can get you can take those out, put the old pickups back in, and it's like nothing ever happened. So that doesn't really matter. But yeah, I mean, I've polished turds before, by all means, and put good pickups in bad guitars, you know.
Yeah. So
I don't have examples, but
is that where you would start generally with modding cheaper guitars as pickups?
I think pickups. Yeah, I think that's where I'd start. I think maybe tuners.
Mm-hmm.
I had that Gibson. The M2.
Yeah,
and that was an expensive, relatively cheap guitar, but I got it on Black Friday and it was like super cheap because they were like $500 or whatever.
Right.
But I got it for the $260 or whatever it was. And I did tuners right away because the tuners were absolute garbage. I put in nice tuners, and then I ended up putting two pickups in it. So those were the two things I did, and the pickups and the tuners, I think, almost valued the guitar that I bought it at. So, you know, there you go right there.
Yeah.
But if the tuners are bad, if the tuners are garbage, then that's where I would start. Because if it won't stay in tune in it, then what's the point?
Right, yeah. It's not worth it at all then.
Yeah.
It's not worth the money you already put into it to buy it.
No, and I mean, that the tuners were, I think, $60 or something, which, okay, that's not a lot of money. But, you know, when you buy a guitar for $260 or whatever, it's like, wow, I just had to put $60 into this guitar I already bought. It should just play, you know. But
yeah,
that one needed it. It needed it. It just played like crap without it. And that, I think, Aaron Abubo and I want to say Cole Duke changed the tuners. Like everybody I know that bought them was like, yeah, tuner's got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and none of those people have them anymore. I think maybe, I think Leon got one, right? I think Leon's like the only person that has one still.
Did Leon? Well, I think Leon sold his.
Did he? Okay. I know Jess. I think Justin sold his too. He had one.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe Clint Duke is the only one that has one still, because he had that strawberry pink that made me want to throw up.
Yeah. The milkshake. I hated one. That color. Strawberry milkshake.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. Strawberry milkshake. Yeah, that was gross looking.
You didn't like that?
No, I don't like that. I don't like that color pink. It was too much. So, but yeah, as far as modding, I mean, do whatever the heck you want. You know, like we talked about getting those Squire Mustang bullets and just like, you know, stripping them down and doing a refin and, you know, just doing what, you know, I wanted to do like a matching headstock and put good pickups in it and good tuners. So like, you know,
I still want to do all that.
We need to. I keep looking, cause like they show up on Amazon as returns, and they're like $120.
If I'm going to get one, I want to get it just shy of $100.
I never see them that price because you want to know why? You'll see it for $100 and it's $50 shipping.
Right.
And it's like, well, I'll just buy a new one off Amazon then. Yeah. But that's why I'm like $120. I'm like, okay, it's $20. You know, I'll take the pickups out and sell it for $20, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I kind of figured. But, I keep looking to find one like local, and they're always like more expensive than new. Like they're always like $150, $175, $200 sometimes, and I'm like, no. Jeez. And I'm like, why are these more than what they are new?
Because of the cool mods that people are doing to them.
That's what they think. Yeah, no, it is. People think, oh, I put you know GFS pickups in this, so it's now worth $50 more. I'm like, no.
Yeah,
it's not.
So what I would do with I've thought about that. I'm like, I want to get one of those and do something. I want to get the like surf green one that they've got.
Yes.
And I want to spray paint it gold and do a matching headstock, gold headstock. And yeah. No, you don't like that?
No, I said, yeah, I was into okay. it. I was envisioning. I was on that wave. I was riding.
Okay. And
I was
then
dreaming it with you, baby.
Cut my own pick guard for it and do just a single P90 in the bridge with a, so no volume knob, no tone knob, just a rocker
just
switch.
Straight in.
A switch, like a big fat, like switch, like you see on the old Tiscos. Okay. So it's like the pickup's on or off.
Okay. Why would you want the pickup off?
Well, so that, you know, you're not getting all feedbacky and stuff. I don't know.
What? It's a humbucker, though, right? I mean, I guess P90. If you're sending it. Oh, P90. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. But off? I mean, I guess, yeah, it's like a volume knob turning it all the way down. But yeah. it is a crazy concept to think of off.
Or, on off. Yeah. It's just like an on off switch for the pickup.
Yeah. I get it.
That's what
I'm into
do.
It. It is crazy.
And I would do that gold just nice and thin so that it wears off and shows that blue real good.
Get like a re-ranch, like the re-ranch nitro stuff.
Yep.
In gold. Yeah.
That wouldn't even stick to that poly that's on those things.
Okay. You're going to have to do a thin primer then.
I guess. Dang it.
Or just do Krylon. It sticks to everything and it rubs off like crazy. So
yeah.
That's fine. I'm fine with that. I'm 100% back that.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
So what was there was another thing to that topic, right?
The other thing to that topic, what did we already
first talk? Thing that you do? First thing that you do?
Yeah, first thing that you do. Yeah, we already did that.
So
pickups.
Is that what
for
you
me,
do?
It would be
you
pickups
do pickups
for me. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah.
I
so
mean,
we smashed
I've
that.
I've had
topic.
My I've had my share of garbage guitars, and that's usually what I change.
I got three of them hanging on a wall right now. So
I've got one of them in pieces in my garage. So
yeah. Good. I told you to list those pieces and get your money back.
Yeah, I need to do that still.
Yep. So, all right, cool. Dude, we crushed that topic. Nailed it. Yep. You guys should post on the group what you changed first. What's your mod? What's your mod sitch? A lot of people just pick guards, though. I know a lot of people are just like, yeah, I don't like that color pick guard, or I want a different pick guard. So,
yeah. If that if that Bullet Mustang didn't have that big old swimming pool route underneath, it would be cool to just no pick guard and mount a P90 to the body.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, that would be cool.
Be awesome.
But you know, yeah. Sorry.
You could fill it with Bondo.
Yes, you could. You could do that.
Mm.
You could stick a heavy piece of paper over it as well. I mean, like there's so many options.
Like I did to the Epiphone.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah.
So, cool. Well, let's do that pedal thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. So, who went first last time? You? Me?
You did.
You go first then.
All right. I am going to talk about the Like My Pedals Wells delay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is a delay. It's got a mix knob, a delay knob, a repeats knob. It's got an engage stomp switch and a tap tempo stomp switch on it, which is a soft switch, which is nice.
Yes.
So the I don't know if he has an actual description for this. I don't know if he does.
Analog delay, right?
It is an analog delay. Yep,
it's analog delay.
It's not really like a modulated analog delay.
No.
Which
no,
I like about it.
Yeah.
But there is like this really cool like dark degradation to the repeats.
Yeah, it kind of, not that it sounds like that, but it reminds me of like the DM2, which has
that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, it has that's one of the things people like about that is how it like the repeats break up. So, and it does that for
it,
sure.
It does that really well. And because I was kind of getting that DM2 vibe from it over the weekend, I tried what would that be? I tried the mix knob at about like 25-30%, and then the repeats like almost all the way up into infinity, so that it was so just like this wash behind my guitar the whole time. It was super cool. I had so much fun with that. I didn't even need any other pedals on at that, like in that moment. It's all you need.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's a really killer delay. Plus, like, he can set it up however you want. I requested it to be in a small box, and then obviously
you did
the same thing. He has a larger box for it too, so you can have a little bit more room. Because he said some people complain about the tap being so close, which is common. I mean, JHS does that. That's why people will choose the bigger box of the Panther Cub or whatever versus the new smaller box he has.
Mm-hmm.
But like for me, like he said, oh, do you really want it to be the small box? And I was like, yes, 100% yes. And he's like, well, some people complain about that. And I was like, no, can you put the tap switch on the left hand side? And he's like, oh, most people want it on the right. And I'm like, yeah, no, I know. And he's like, well, why? And I was like, oh, because that my delay section is always on the left hand corner of my board. And he's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So it's the last pedal on my board. It just tap it in. It's right there. I'm not going to hit any other switches,
Yeah.
So he sets it and builds it however you want. We both picked graphics that he did, which I thought was cool. I couldn't think of any. We were kind of talking like Orson Welles and some different things. And I was like, you know what? I was looking at your site. I really like that. Did you do that graphic? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, can you do that again? And he's like, yeah. So, and then same thing for you,
Yeah, I picked one that I seen he'd already done before. Yep. So.
Yeah, and those were both his like designs, so I thought that was kind of cool. That, obviously you can get whatever the heck you want on it. But we each did one that was like fun and our own kind of design, and then we did one that was like his design,
Mm-hmm.
And that Wells circuit is his own circuit too, which I want to mention. It's not a clone of anything. Yeah. He's pretty proud of it.
I really like it.
Yeah, it like, sounds great.
I have two of my other delays listed on Reverb now because I like this one. This one,
Remember I was talking about that Matthews Effects Dr. Repito?
Mm-hmm.
I got it for $45 or whatever. I listed it and sold it like the next day because I was nah, I don't need this. This is better. that's a DM2 clone or whatever. And so this just filled that completely. I was like, yep, I don't need you. Goodbye. And That's a great sounding pedal too. It sounded fantastic, especially when you get it to like oscillate. And I'm like, yeah, I don't need you. Goodbye.
You're so fickle.
Did you figure out the presets on it?
No, I forgot how you explained it to me.
Okay.
Well, you have to watch the demo. I don't need those presets anyway.
Yeah, but they're fun to dial them in. You know, it's fun. I don't remember now. I'd have to watch the video again. When I told you, I'd freshly watched the video. But basically, I think you hold down the tap for three seconds or whatever.
I would have refreshed my memory before talking about it on that pedal thing if I had remembered that.
Yeah, that's
was
okay.
A thing.
I bought, or not bought.
Sorry,
yeah,
Joseph.
I don't know. Whatever. But basically, yeah, before ordering it or whatever, I didn't even know that was a thing. And then he's like, I was like, can you make like a eighth dotted eighth preset? Is there a way to do a switch for that? And he's like, no, not really. But you know what like does it, right? And I was like, no, I don't really understand. And he's like, yo, here. He sent me a link to the video. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm dumb. And so basically, I think you hold down the tap for 3 seconds or something, and then basically the light lights up and it shows, you know, like each time you turn it a quarter turn, you get, you know, you got quarter, eighth, and then, you know, it keeps going for, you know, your repeats. And basically you just turn it and the light flashes according to how many, you know, repeats you get or whatever. So yeah. It's like stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four. So it's like if you turn it a quarter turn, it each one is like a different stage. So you get like presets in there too, which is great for like dotted eighth. That's something everybody wants. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people want. So it's cool that it's in there.
Yeah, definitely. All right, send me that link later and I'll watch it.
Yeah, I will. But it's definitely, dude, killer pedal for real.
And when you forget to send it to me later, Joseph, send that video to me.
Yeah, just put the link on the Facebook. But also, like, the price of it, you cannot find a delay at that price new. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That A, does what that does, and B, like, sounds incredible. I mean, first of all, tap tempo, and then obviously it's got the right kind of presets in it, and then whatever graphic you want. It's freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Joseph, you're killing it, man. It very quickly is becoming one of my favorite delays. I really like it.
Me too. What cool. pedal are you going to talk about?
Oh, I get to go.
since you talked about
Well, I liked it. Cool. I like when we both played the pedal and we get to talk about it together. It's fun. Yeah. It's fun.
It's a good thing. It takes the pressure off of me.
Yeah. Well, that's your the Coast to Coast podcast. That's where it's fun.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to do Wrought Iron Leather and Effects. They do the Kyber Fuzz. And, dude, it's ridiculous. It's on loan from Jamie Davis. I'm very thankful that he loaned it to me. I did send it back. But the things, first of all, A, even if I turned it on and plugged it in and it didn't make any noise, I still want it because it's gorgeous. It's as all his pedals are. I've played one other pedal from him that he loaned to Josh Marmon. The Narnia one. I'm trying to think of the name. It's slipping my mind. The Aslan.
Yeah,
and that, dude, that was a good pedal too. But the quality of his pedals are, it's like nobody can touch them. You know what I mean? As far as like it's out of the box. It's, you know, it's different. He's building his own cases. He does something unique with all of them as far as the design.
Yeah.
I know his wife does all of, like, the graphics, which I think is cool too. And, you know, they all have like these cutouts and show the LED. Like, they're just monsters. This one has a light sword on it. And it's a theme from a movie. And but yeah, it's a fuzz. It basically it's four knobs. It's got it's at the top, it's got your fuzz, then it's got a gain, then it's got a volume, then it's got the glitch knob. Now the glitch is it's listed on his website as a spike tooth tremolo.
Okay.
Which you referenced that you thought it was from the type of tremolo wave, and I think that probably makes a lot of sense. And for me being a dummy reading this book, Pedals for Dummies, I'm catching up. I'm getting there. But, dude.
Is that a real book?
No, I wish it was. I'll work on that. But it's
written For dummies, by dummies.
By a dummy. So, A, it looks incredible. And then it has this, you know, if you can turn off, obviously, the you know, there's a dip switch, which has two different, well, it's, I think it's three different waveform, two. And I think one cuts it down to like normal, you know.
Okay.
But if you go up, it's one that's very aggressive, one that's down that's very aggressive. And I think the middle is just off. But also I pick up some sounds from my electric. You know, so yeah. Like it always drives on my drives in my house upstairs where I do like just some demo stuff will have those kind of sounds sometimes. So that's why I've been using that Outlaw FX board, because then yeah. I don't have to worry about it. But when I was playing, now I just played it before I sent it out, and I'm like, is the middle? I think the middle is like a off, but dude, it sounds so good. It's got this like between fuzz and overdrive that you're mixing and blending to where, you know, for taste.
Yeah.
And then you can crank this tremolo, and then basically the glitch is like a speed knob, and you can tune it in where you want. And man, the thing was killer. I played some real punky stuff in the demo I did, just, you know, just messing around, and I was like, man, this thing sounds good. It sounds good with whatever you play. I loved it.
Nice.
I definitely want one. Now I think as far as prices, it's $275, I think, is the price on it, and worth it because it's handcrafted. Everything he does is handcrafted, you know, and it's super cool. But, you know, that is a price tag, and right now that's not a price tag that I can afford. But down the road, I might try to pick one up or pick up something else from him because he makes some rad freaking stuff.
Yeah, I can testify to that as well. Yes, he makes.
Yeah, you have other stuff from him, right?
I have, the Wiley Boost.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep. And a bunch of straps, but yeah.
Yes. But, yeah, go check him out if you've never seen his stuff. First of all, the lightsaber, or light sword, it kind of pulses with the tremolo. Oh, man, it looks like it's, like, going, like, from the movie. He's so smart. What a smart guy. Maybe he wrote the book on pedals for dummies.
Yeah.
But it is killer looking. Go check it out if you haven't seen it. Go check out either the demo or just go to his website. He's got great stuff. So
so you're doing all these demos. Where are you putting them?
They're on Instagram and Facebook, Instagram and YouTube. So the link's okay. The link is on our Instagram page.
Got it.
So yeah, go check them out. There is currently four of them left. I wasn't gonna do it before, and then he did like a second run.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're red. So go check them out.
Cool. Well, I don't want to go from one bit into another, so...
No, let's not do that. Let's talk about... Wait.
What's your favorite breakfast cereal?
Okay, that's what I was going to go with. Okay, so here's the thing. I got a ton of favorite breakfast cereals.
Have we talked about breakfast cereal before?
We've talked about breakfast cereal because we talked about what do we like for breakfast, and sometimes I just like a garbage bowl of cereal, you know, like just like... The sugariest cereal. I don't eat breakfast, so usually when I have cereal, it's at dinner. It's not at dinner. It's like a snack before bed or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I just really can't eat breakfast. But we've talked about that before. But as far as cereals, dude, Lucky Charms, Apple Jacks, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I think those are the three I'm really like super into.
Man, you weren't kidding.
Yeah.
Garbage cereal. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, it's going to go straight to my heart. I understand that. But I rarely get it. Like,
yeah,
it's so funny. So this week, this is funny. So my wife said, hey, so this was, like, the last week that, like, she's going to work for the business. And so basically she does, like, the back end sales usually when she was working for us. And so she would go do the back end sales and, you know, whatever. And then somebody else was doing it for us, but now it's just her. So she went out this weekend. And then she goes, you got to go out and get some groceries this weekend. Sorry. And I was like, with three kids by myself? And she's like, yep. And I was like, okay. I was like, all right. I'm like, can it wait? And she's like, well, not really. If you want to have cereal and milk and cheese and things that we need. I was like, oh. And, you know, just life got ahead of us, and we just didn't get done what we needed to. And I was like, okay, fine. So I drag all three kids to, you know, our store. And the one store we go to doesn't carry any name brand stuff. It's all, like, their own brand.
Nice.
And so, like, it's not, like, the food's great. We like their stuff. But, you know, you're not going to find anything. They all have, it's all knockoff. It's like, it's like the store brand section, but a whole store of that. And, the store's called Aldi's. If you've never, you don't have them out there, but it's like a German based company. The guy owns Trader Joe's as well. Just so, just for fun facts, funsies. But anyways, yeah. So I never get like the stuff I like, because the, you know, generic cereals of brands you like, they're never as good as the original, and I just
they're not quite the same.
They're not the same. They always taste a little funny to me, a little off. So I just never get. I just get like Rice Chex, you know, or Cheerios or whatever. And so then I did that shopping, and then I was like, okay, I have $50 left that I need to spend in our grocery budget, and I'm gonna go to this other store. and I literally, all the cereals were on sale for $2.50, like all of them, like the big boxes. And I was like, boom, Lucky Charms, boom, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, boom, Apple Jacks, boom. Like, I just like, dude, I went nuts. I went straight ham on the cereal aisle. It was crazy. And I was like, I've only spent $15. And I'm just like, Cocoa Puffs, this. Like, I was like going nuts. But I did bring three toddlers to a store by myself. I was proud, and it was successful.
Nice. Well done. Well done.
Yeah. I dadded it up so hard this week. I was awesome. I was best dad ever.
Well, cool. So what was yours? For cereal, I got two that I categorize as my garbage cereals I like.
Okay. Do you have a healthy cereal that you like too? We should do a healthy one, because I like a healthy one too. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, my garbage ones are Fruity Pebbles, and
I like Fruity Pebbles for sure.
And Corn Pops.
Oh yeah, yeah. I bought a box of Corn Pops this week. Yep.
So those are my two.
Corn Pops are good.
Like, they're not good for you, and I have
no way.
I have to eat like six bowls to feel like I even ate anything.
Okay, so that's where you and I differ. I'm a one bowl of cereal guy. Like, I sometimes I will go back and I'll be like, I'll use the milk, a little bit of milk, and then put some more milk on it, you know, and then just finish it off. But I'm not. Yeah.
Generally, I consider cereal pointless food, because I can eat a whole box and still be hungry.
Okay. I can eat one bowl and I'm usually pretty good. Maybe that's me just showing restraint. I used to. I mean, as a kid, dude, I could own a whole box of whatever you put in front of me. So that was the brand we liked. Yeah. A whole bowl of whatever you put in front of me. That was the healthy cereal we used to get.
Yeah. Well, okay. So my healthy cereals, I'm a big fan of Raisin Bran.
That's not, for the record, just so you know, not a healthy cereal. It has more it has more sugar than Lucky Charms.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
so just so you know, scratch that one from the list. It's the raisins, and then they coat the raisins in sugar. But right. So if you got just
bran flakes,
if you got just, well, the problem is even the flakes have a little bit of sugar coating on them, because they don't, like, you would think if you went and got Wheaties, that would be exactly the same. It's not.
No.
But I do love Raisin Bran, but
Wheaties are pretty bomb too.
Yeah. Oh, Wheaties are good. But that's a good cereal. Like, that's a good cereal for you.
Yeah. Okay, so there's one called Puffins. And it's some goofy hippie brand. I want to say they're called Barbara's or Barra's or something.
Those.
Yeah, they're like one of those ones that you can find at like Trader Joe's or
something
like
Puffins.
That. Yeah, and they're
Dude, those
Puffins.
Those look rad. I want some Puffins now.
Dude, they...
Barbara's. Yeah, Barbara's, man. You were on.
They stay crunchy. Like, they don't get soggy.
Well, because they look like dog food. Now that I'm looking up close. Are you sure you're shopping? It's found at Pet Supply Plus. That's why. Have you been ordering these online?
No, my mom used to bring them home for us.
Oh, man, you poor thing.
No, that's a great cereal. It's like just enough sweetness.
It looks like Captain Crunch a little bit, and then like with a chocolate Captain Crunch.
But it's not chocolate.
No, it just, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. And, well, and they're
bigger. Oh, guess what? Sorry. This is the, I'm looking at the peanut butter and chocolate box. So
that's really? There is a peanut butter and chocolate version?
Yes. Yep. Oh. But yours,
my mom bought plain.
The regular one is plain, or they have cinnamon. But yeah, no, they kind of, you know what they look like? They look like Life.
Shape wise, they do look a lot like a Captain Crunch kernel.
Yes, they do.
But they're bigger. They're like the size of a nickel.
Okay.
So those are really good. I really like those. That's a good healthy cereal. I think that it even has whole grains or something stupid like that. So
yeah, I think it did say that on it. Yep. It's gluten free too.
Oh, you ruined it for me.
And they also have vegan? Pumpkin. It's all vegan. It's basically just styrofoam is what you're eating. Oh, some of them are gluten free and some of them aren't. The pumpkin ones were gluten free. Yeah.
You tell me your healthy cereal, and then
I have two.
Try and stop me from going crazy straight ham about on it. Pumpkin.
Okay.
I hate that stupid stuff.
Well, let's do that after.
Okay.
So I like Rice Chex, and I'll eat them plain, but I do like to just sprinkle a little bit of sugar on it. Not a lot, but just like a little taste. The other one I like, Kix, straight out of the box.
I haven't had those in a long time.
Kix by themselves are freaking great. Just cereal, you know, like just with milk. I love them. I would eat Kix all day. So that's my two. I never buy them. I should. I'm sure the kids would love them. But
well, they're kid tested and mother approved. So
they are mother approved. So, all right, pumpkin. Yeah, dude, we're coming to that season. Freaking forget that season. I can't. I'm about to go off.
I hate pumpkin
season. I can't stand pumpkin spice coffee, pumpkin spice. Just shut up.
I don't like pumpkin pie.
That's it. I like pumpkin pie.
I don't like
that's
pumpkin
the only
pie.
Thing I like. That's the only thing I like is pumpkin pie.
The only thing I like is smashing pumpkins with a baseball bat.
You like the band.
Actually, like I hate band. Smashing pumpkins, yeah. The band, so maybe
once again,
a strong
you
word.
And I you and I differ. I think they have a few albums I really like.
I've never listened to an album.
Well, that's your problem.
I have
man.
No desire.
Well, because you
Billy Corgan is
a genius,
a jackass,
and he put the Big Muff on the map for many many of teens.
If he wouldn't have, somebody else would have.
No, they wouldn't have. You know they've been making it from like the 70s, right? I'm like, yeah, whatever.
You ever heard of David Gilmour? Huh?
Speaking of David Gilmour, did you see they released the Triangle Big Muff?
I did.
The only thing I don't like about it, now it's not out, I think it's just pre-order. The only thing I don't like about it, $99 price tag.
Oh, really? They made it more than the other ones?
Yes, it's $15 more. Yeah. Well,
I guess they got to rationalize hanging on to all those new old stock parts for the last 50 years.
Yeah, right? I'm sure it's not new old stock. I'm sure it's just trying to figure out how to make it, you know, I'm sure it costs more money to make it, you know, sound that way. I was like, oh, that's my only qualm is, the other thing too, my other problem is the graphic on it is it says Triangle Big Muff, which is not the original name, obviously. That's the nickname, but like the Russian Big Muff, I mean, it wasn't called the Russian one either, but it looks like the original because they did that same green and, you know, it just has that look. I think if they did different knobs or something rather than the regular EHX knobs, I think I would have been, like, into it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. It's a sub $100 pedal that probably will sound freaking awesome because all of those have sounded really good.
Yeah, well, you got the green one, right?
I don't anymore. I just sold it to Will Lehue, and I really liked it, and I'll buy another one.
Yeah. Did you get the op amp one?
I didn't, but I played it at when I went to the Brooklyn Stompbox. I played it a lot because that was the one that was like I saw their booth, and I was like, that's the pedal I want to play. That and the Oceans.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this thing sounds really good. It sounds what I thought it should sound like. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've already seen people talking about, you know, having the whole collection, all three of the issues.
Yeah, I want to get the whole collection, to be honest.
Yeah.
But they don't have the Ram's head yet, so they'll have to work on that.
Now, so which one is probably the most popular? Not like the most rare, but probably the most popular.
I would say as of recent, the green. Russian. Besides, I mean, the most popular is just the traditional, you know, NYC one or whatever.
Yeah.
Because that's the one everyone has. But available. I think the one that people have been trying to get right and builders have been building for a long time is the green one.
Yeah.
You know? But I think they should do them all. I think they should do a Ram's Head if they can, you know? They can figure it out.
I don't work
in R&D.
For as much as I love fuzz, I feel like I should know more about, like, all the different muff variations.
Well, they need to do a black one, too, I think. They need to do the black Russian one.
Yeah.
Because that sounds distinctly different than the green one, so I think that would be fun. But the op-amp one is kind of in that same category, so, you know. But I think that if they did, they should just keep doing a line of them. I think it's great.
So I picked up one of the black ones for you, right, from here, from a guy here?
Yeah. Josh Barman, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
His wife hit me up to try to find him something cool, and you had grabbed one. And you played it, right?
I did.
Yeah, it sounded awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
I just sold one. I got one from Will LaHoo, and I just sold it because it was like, I don't want to say I needed the money, but I wanted to make sure I had money, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, okay. But I do like that pedal a lot.
Yeah. So, I don't remember. I don't even know how we got there, but that was good. That was a good little...
We went from cereal to pumpkin spice to smashing pumpkins to Big Muffs.
Boom. Dang, that's a hell of a segue.
Yep, we nailed it.
So, got a question for you.
I got answers, apparently.
Okay.
They're not good, apparently.
So, you got a gig. Got a gig coming up. You've got your board. You've got your amp.
Board. Okay.
You've got your guitar.
Okay.
But you don't have all your normal fancy sinusoid cables that you normally have.
Oh, crap.
Okay. So you have a wireless.
I like where this
you
is
have
going.
A wireless.
Wait.
Well, okay,
wait
you have two.
Are you doing WWYG right now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm in.
Okay. So you have two wirelesses that you have, and they're like the Natty. Like, you remember that brand, right? Natty, N-A-D-Y.
Like Natty Ice?
Yes, like Natty Ice. No, N-A-D-Y is like a they made
budget gear stuff
back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember.
So you can have two of those, one from your guitar to your board, and then the other one from your board to your amp.
Okay.
But you don't know when the last time the batteries were changed in them. And you don't have time to check before the gig. Or you have two of the bargain bin instrument cables from Guitar Center that are...
Like just the black ones, right?
Just the black ones, and they're each only 6 feet long.
Oh, gosh.
So which setup do you grab? The budget cables that you only get 6 feet each, or the wireless from the late 90s with batteries that you don't know when you changed them last?
All right. I would go with my gut, and my gut says to go with the budget cables, because that wireless stuff in the 90s and 2000s always had trouble with it, even when it was fresh batteries.
How many of those wireless systems did you have? Because I had three different ones, and whichever
I think
one
I
was
had
working
two,
that day
I think I had two or three. Yeah, I think I had two or three, and then we just gave up on them.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I think my bassist had one and I had one, and we would try to, like, you know, just tinker with it. I'm like, forget this. We just never got them to work right.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, those sucked.
So you're going budget cables?
I'll go budget cables, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I think I
would too.
You didn't say all corroded and knotted up. You know, if you said that, I'd probably be like, oh, I'll try wireless, but yep.
All right.
Okay. What, you said the same thing?
Yeah, I'd probably do the same thing.
All right. Okay. You are on a ship, and it's going down, man. And basically, you have enough time to run in and grab one of these items and then get to the rescue. So, you have an American Fender Strat 1975 big headstock. Stock, but beat up. Like, not looking... It's been worn. Or 1969 Gibson SG, same condition, worn, beat up, played. What are you gonna grab?
What year was the SG?
69
SG. Did they have Did they have PAFs in them or P90s at that time?
I think P90s. That's a great question.
It makes a huge difference to me right now.
It does for you. It does. I think that's a great question. We're gonna keep stalling though. So the Fender's stock.
The Fender is stock. What color is it?
It is okay. Both of them are like the natural color, like the brown wood.
Send them to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, that's why. That was I wrote that down and I didn't get to it yet because you asked the PAF question.
Yeah.
I want to say I don't think they had P90s in these.
Then I'm going Strat.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though if it has the walnut stain. Like the walnut stain that Fender was doing, like on the Tele Deluxes, that's cool. Like just a natural gross ash.
Well, I don't mean ash. No, I don't mean that light. I meant like the brown, like the dark brown. Walnut. Yeah, with a black pickguard, because that's the color that you like. Apparently, is you know. So
yeah,
you're gonna go Strat.
I'm going Strat.
Oof, what would I go with? I'm not the biggest SG fan. I do want one, though. But I'm not, like... I don't see one and hear it sing to me. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't feel like, oh, I gotta get one, you know? But, like, yeah.
The SG for me would have to be... It would be the one if it was the P90s. Because I like P90s over single coils. But, I really hate the way Strats play. But I...
Okay.
But I don't want the PAFs.
I think I would pick. I've had a lot of.
I like the big headstocks. I like the big headstock.
You do like the big headstocks. Yes, okay. I like the small headstock on a Strat versus the big one. But I've owned both, obviously. Mm-hmm. And obviously. I had a 70. Obviously. I don't know why I said that. Obviously. I'm such a douche. I did own a 75 Strat though. Well, kind of. It was a 75. Oh. That's what the other topic was. We'll go back to that. It was a 75 neck on a 60s Japanese body.
Oh, okay.
And it played great. Everything fit wonderfully. Looked awesome. Had a lot of mojo, you know. But I bought the neck for like $150, and I bought the body for like $25, and you know, put some good pickups in it, and mm-hmm. I ended up selling it for like $900 or something like that. So, it was like too good, you know, like I was like, I need to sell this, you know, and I think I used some of that money to buy my Equits.
Oh, cool.
So that was part of it, you know? I think if I had to pick, I think I would go with, the Gibson, because I've never owned one. Okay. I know I own them in this scenario, but I've never owned one, so it's like, I don't know what that has for me, where I know what a Strat has for me, you know?
Yeah.
So. Also, 75 Strats are weird. That's, you know, that's CBS era, mm-hmm. and some of them are turds.
I thought you said 78 Strat.
I said 75, but it doesn't matter. Because when did CBS sell it? In the 80s?
I think so.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. The years on the Strats vary on quality for sure, and even between years they vary. So
yeah,
people have talked about having ones that are absolute turds that are you know look beautiful, and then mine played awesome, you know, and it just you know, so you never know what you're gonna get with those. So I think maybe I'd go Gibson.
Okay.
So plus it just I don't know something different.
Yeah,
why not? Why I'm picking it. So What would you grab? Where's your theme music, man? Did you do theme music for that pedal thing
yet? No, I'm way behind on all that.
Oh, dude, I'm not judging. I didn't listen to the episode this week. So, because I like to listen to see where I messed up. So I listened to like the intro just to see where you messed up and I moved on. And I didn't want to hear myself just babble about boosts when I knew what I meant and I couldn't say it.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Cool. So another topic this was kind of leading up to is it better to build, right? Isn't it to build?
Buy a whole guitar the or way build, you want it, or build it with parts.
Right. So we're not talking about boutique guitars, because that's when you just like, you're literally just picking out what you like.
Yeah.
So, but like going, let's say going, what would you say Fender Mod Shop counts? Or would you say more of like just going and be like, I like this, you know what I mean? And then helping it fits all your criteria.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, over the counter versus,
right,
you know.
So like, let's say Fender puts out the let's just say Fender, the professional series, stock or whatever.
Right.
Versus even doing the Fender Mod Shop, which are similar prices anyways.
I think that, you know, it's a matter of finance and if you know what you want.
Yep. I agree.
You know, I like my Telecaster, you know, for all intents and purposes is just, it's the stock, Tele Nashville. Like,
yeah. MIM, right?
Yeah. I mean, other than the pick guard, which all I did was change the color of the pick guard. It's a stock Nashville, and there's nothing about it that I would change.
Nope, that thing plays fantastic.
Yeah,
that was a really good playing guitar for being an MIM, like whatever.
Well, you know?
But I've always said that MIM stuff, if you were like just had to start from scratch again, that was where I'd start.
Yeah, well, and talking about, you know, variations in quality. Every other Nashville Tele that I've picked up that's an MIM does not feel like that one.
Sure.
That's why I will never sell it, even though those things are abundant and you can find them everywhere. Not like that one.
You got to play 50 of them to see if you can get the same one, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yep, that's fair.
But, you know, then building one, I've never actually built, like, an entire parts guitar.
Okay.
It's never been something I've done, so I have no experience to say if it's worth it.
Okay. Here's the deal. I'm going to say this. So if you were building, like, let's say an American Fender. Okay, so the first – so this is – I have two parts guitars that I've built, you know, basically with the intention of building them.
Mm-hmm.
I bought an MIM Strat. And I hated the neck on it. It just, I never had an American Strat or anything. I'd only had Squires before that. And my buddy came over and we were jamming or whatever. And I played his, like, American Strat. And I was like, dude, this thing feels fantastic. And he's like, oh. He's like, yeah, it's got jumbo frets. It's the American neck. It's great. And I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, I got on eBay or whatever. And, like, mm-hmm. the first American neck I found, it was, I bid on it. And I won it for, like, $109 or something like that. And I was like, sweet. So then I sold my neck for like $120, like buy it now. and then I put that on the guitar and I was like, oh man, this thing, yeah, that feels good. But then I couldn't get the sound right. And I was like, man, these pickups just don't sound as good as like that other dude's pickups in my amp, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like, so I texted him and he's like, oh, I have Texas Specials. And I was like, cool. So I went online, bought Texas Specials, put them in the guitar. I was like, yeah, sounds great. Then I was like, you know what? I want all gold hardware. And so then I replaced. So I kind of like did it in parts of the things I didn't like, you know? Mm-hmm. And I built my own Strat that way. And what ended up happening is it was sunburst. And I think it must have gotten cold from the temperature. I think I left it in the car or something. And the wood, you could see the line where it split, you know,
wood. Yeah.
And it didn't split the paint or anything, but it was like enough of like a swell that you could see how it was like a line right down the middle. Drove me nuts. So I just waited and looked for American like Strat bodies And then basically just bid on them, you know, and put like my lowest bid that I was willing to pay, and ended up winning one for under $200 or whatever. And I sold mine for like $100 or something. So it's like, I just switched out the parts. So at the end of the day, I had an all American Strat by the end, by the end of, you know, like a 4 year period or whatever.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah, I mean, I paid much less than an American Strat if you look at all the parts.
Right. Yeah.
I know I had, you know, I think they're 170 or something for the Texas specials, you know, 200 for the body, 100 for the neck, you know, and then the parts. I mean, I was sub 500, you know,
yeah,
maybe sub 600, you know. So if you look at that, you can, if you wait and you're not in a rush, you can get the deals on like eBay and Reverb to like build something mm-hmm. nice. So it's possible. Now, the other guitar I have is I found a 69 Fender Telecaster neck, all original, had the tuning pegs, everything was original on it, the nut was original. I got, somebody spelled Telecaster wrong, I think, or they spelled Fender wrong, and I just happened to find it, and I bought it. It had been listed like 15 times when I checked it, like, and I thought it would be a fake, yeah. You know? And then, I was like, I just hit the guy up and I was like, hey, would you, I think he had like 169 or something like that. And, or 175. And I was like, hey, would you take, you know, 125 or something? He's like, I'll do 150. I was like, done. And so I bought it like a low price, you know? Mm-hmm. I get it. I look it over. I'm like, yep. And I sent a bunch of pictures to one of my buddies. He's like, yeah, no, that's legit. You got a good deal. You got a really good deal. And I was like, cool. And then it sat in my corner for like 8 months because I, you know, I was like tempted to sell it. Then I didn't want to sell it. But then I was like, okay, this thing's got to become a guitar. So I bought a MJT body for it. Okay. And I was like, cool, whatever. I don't care what it is. And then I just built a Strat or built a Telecaster out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And then basically, like, I was like, man, it'd be cool if, like, this was, like, all original. Like, it'd be cool if this had, like, a 69 body and, you know, like, whatever. And basically, I found a deal on a 69 body, and I bid on it, and I won. And I was like, cool. It's a little more than I wanted to pay, but it was still, like, a great deal. So then I had the body. Then I was like, okay, I don't know what I want to invest in this, but, you know, I just watched out for – I ended up getting, like, a – not the pickups. I have like Rio Grandes in it, but I ended up getting like the control plate and yeah. then the neck plate was the most expensive thing I bought.
Oh yeah.
Cause it can go for a Strat. That's why.
Yeah.
It could, you know, cause the serial numbers are the same. If it said Tele, it would have been a lot less than that. But yeah, so that's the, it's basically all original.
I'm going to call
except
Paul
for the
back.
Pots had to be replaced and the pickups.
Hold
and
tight,
I think and the switch. So yeah, I mean, I have a 1969 Fender Telecaster, and I paid sub $600 for it. You know, and it's like, oh man, oh, I lost your coat. But anyways,
Paul's
it was pretty freaking rad.
So,
I think that we will wrap this up because my phone just died. And awesome. So thanks so much for listening.
See,
guys,
if I can get that in the mic at all. No, I don't think you're gonna be able to hear that. But Paul's phone died. So what I'm gonna do is right around here somewhere, I am going to insert all of our patronizers names read at the same time. So get ready to listen to that right about now. And thanks for tuning in. Okay, bye.
Rum Shores, Doug Roar.
And also, we have decided that this month, 50% of what you give to us as a patronizer is going to a charity of our choice as every month. That is the case. That was a real weird way to word that. But every month, 50% of the money that comes in through Patreon goes to charity of our choice. And this month we have chose the Live Love Foundation. Believe it's livelove.org. Go check that out. It's an awesome thing. Thanks again. Now for reals. Bye.